Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively inundated around here with phone calls from folks out of town when Lamar Jackson does what he does on Monday Night Football. Pals like my friend and former goalie of the Baltimore Skipjacks and the Washington Capitals and former player development chief of the Washington Capitals, Sean Simpson, my pal. Sometimes we talk some hockey and sometimes we talk Monday Night Football.
Tomorrow, more of the same. Weekend, it does warm up a little bit. Warm being in air quotes. -3 on Saturday. 0 on Sunday, but they're calling for snow on Sunday. So we'll see if that happens, which will give us a nice dusting just in time for Christmas.
Yeah.
And it might, given the fact of what's going on down in the U.S. Northeast right now, they had a nor'easter go through last night.
Yeah.
Man, you would think it's the worst blizzard in the history of man, some of the coverage I saw last night. But anyway, they got to a good dump of snow in the U.S. Northeast.
Yeah, Weather Channel, United States, there's nothing. Well, we've seen the footage of it before, right? The guy hanging onto the tree and the couple behind him walking by, everything's good to go.
Got hit yesterday. To the Gabriel Pisa hotline we go, where you're welcome. Simmer's good friend from back in the Baltimore days, Nestor Aparicio, hosts a talk show in Baltimore, joins us this morning. How you doing, Nestor?
What's going on? My wife's up in New Hampshire, giving herself the full Canadian treatment. So it's freezing up there. We had a dusting of snow here. The entire city shut down on Wednesday. So, you know, to hear you guys make fun of us, we make fun of ourselves.
Yeah, okay, good. You guys don't have snow plows in Baltimore, right? Like, if you had snow, you'd basically just have to drive around it until it melted.
Would you guys not watch The Wire? We have snow plows here. Yes, okay, we have plows.
Do, and actually, Nestor, the funny part, when I lived in Maryland, is actually, JR, they actually cancel things 3 days in advance of snow. It's not the day before. It's 3 days before.
And this is before we didn't have a president. I mean, imagine that, right?
Yeah. All good, all good. Well, we know the game of football carries on no matter the weather. And so let's start in the city where you are right now. And, boy, if we want to talk about the overarching storyline with the NFL this year, has been the effects of COVID. And there's probably been no team that has had to tiptoe through it more than the Baltimore Ravens. And now I read this morning, Nestor, that three more players are in on the COVID-19 list. What does it feel like in Baltimore right now with this team as they try to kind of navigate through COVID?
Well, it's been kind of crazy the last 2 years, right? So they draft Lamar, they build the whole team around him, they get rid of Flacco, they go 14-2, they can't win playoff games. They're very one-dimensional, right? I mean, the notion that they're going to throw the football well at some point, you don't want them to throw the football. I mean, that's the conundrum with the team, is that if they throw it 40 times, they probably lost. They don't have any intention of doing that, but the run-blocking part of this has changed so much from last year to this year. No Marshall Yanda. Ronnie Stanley got hurt right after they gave him a couple $100 million. Nick Boyle, who was a bit of a bowling ball fullback that was really the lead blocker that created a lot of the chaos, and Pat Ricard came in on the backside of that. But they've just had a lot of injuries, and the October part of the season got rocky when they started losing players, and the November part came completely off the rails when 23 players tested positive for COVID. It stems back to their own locker room. The league has been very punitive in this, right? I mean, the league made the Broncos play without a quarterback. I don't know what that says to Broncos fans. The league made the Ravens play without half a football team. I don't know what that says to the sanctity of the game. You know, there's all sorts of things that could be said about what fields a legitimate competition. Simmer, you were a goalie, and I know you have a famous story about coming from the broadcast booth to maybe playing on a night, and we actually saw that happen in the league, right? So I don't know what is legitimate and what's not. I know I railed for 4 months this summer about, hey, if you want to bring sports back, bring it back, but let's not make it the Eddie Fainter All-Stars. Let's make it real games. Let's have real competition. I never felt like the baseball season was real. I never really felt like the hockey or the basketball. It felt like a tournament. It didn't feel like a season. This has been a legitimate season, and up until, I don't know, Halloween or right about Thanksgiving week, other than the Titans kind of coming off the rails, that the league has said we're going to play through this, you know, integrity be damned. And I think that's unfortunate. Now, on to the Ravens in Monday night. That was an amazing night. It's a miracle. It's great. But I don't know that it makes the football team really better. The next 3 weeks, they have to play Jacksonville, the Giants, and the Bengals. We're not even into day three of practice this week, and the entire wide receiver team is gone. A room is gone. So The league should have come to grips with this in the way that smart Canadians did, which was bubble up and get to the finish line. Now the league is sort of out on a wing where if Patrick Mahomes tests positive the day before the AFC Championship game, I don't know how they're going to handle it. I mean, I don't know that they have a playbook for how to handle it. I don't think they've handled these COVID outbreaks the way they should have, certainly front-facing to the American public, but they could have added an 18th week. They could have built other things in. They could have tried to bubble the playoffs, and they say they're not going to bubble the playoffs now. I'm concerned they're not going to get to the end with integrity. That's my concern.
Nestor, Lamar Jackson, to last year MVP, then in the playoffs, obviously they get beat first game, they're out. Since then, I guess thoughts on him and his game overall in the market, and more importantly, do they have the offensive weapons around him when healthy to support the MVP quarterback?
Well, there's a lot of that going on there because the offensive line would have been the first thing. And when they drafted him, they had a Hall of Famer at right guard. They had a budding Hall of Famer at left tackle. They had more of a solidified look to the offensive line. They had that all. Even in the offseason, they're like, we'll replace Yanda, we'll be fine, we've got other young players. They got rid of Hayden Hurst, if you remember, who was a guy who could catch the football and is doing that down in Atlanta now. And they drafted a kid named Devin Duvernay out of Texas, they thought highly of. But this organization has never drafted wide receivers well, right? Going back to having to get Anquan Boldin, having to get Steve Smith, having to import Derek Mason, go back over the 23, 24 years of the Ravens, they have never really drafted a wide receiver. And Hollywood Brown was supposed to be that guy. Of course, this week, you know, guys, he's had the dropsies, and he's had kind of a loud mouth for a little guy out on Twitter. Called himself a soldier, you know, picked on the offensive coordinator a couple weeks ago, said he wasn't getting the ball. And then he starts getting the ball, and he's dropped the ball consistently the last month. He caught the big pass the other night. It's kind of amazing. Jackson comes out, throws the ball. As the ball is up in the air, going down, first off, it's fourth down, and he had a first down in front of him. All he had to do was take three steps, and he had the first down, right? So the game's on the line. He's throwing the ball to Hollywood Brown. Of course, this week, the minute he gets COVID, the troll types, I know you know about those, in the Ravens fan base, said he finally caught something. He caught COVID. Brutal.
Yeah.
I don't write them. I just read them, man.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd never spread them either. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, last year, Nestor, you know, as you said, 14-2, MVP, they crash out in the first round. Is there the feeling among the fan base in Baltimore that this year maybe it flips around where they just eke into the playoffs and then go on a run, or they just don't have it with the amount of injuries they've got?
Well, I think they're going to get in. I mean, they play three really lousy teams, right? So now they've earned the, you know, the right to go lose the first playoff game again, maybe. You know, I don't know whether that will be the case or not. They'd love to earn the right to go win a playoff game, which is what they've been chomping at the bit for, right? I mean, the Titans game last year, no bueno. The year before that, the Chargers, probably even worse as far as how the offense looked. If you're asking about Lamar in the big picture, I mean, Lamar is one-dimensional until I see differently. Until I see him go out, run a two-minute drill, literally run a two-minute drill with this offense and make it happen. And you could say the other night they won. It's the first time they've come back to win. And if you're asking whether they can win playoff games, I mean, the other night we're sitting watching them evaporate to Cleveland, watching Lamar back in the locker room. Of course, everybody was having their own bathroom humor with that as well. But Lamar came back out, won the football game, and it's changed the entire complexion of the season now to say, well, we think we're going to be a playoff team. I mean, at 11 o'clock on Monday night, they looked like they weren't going to be a playoff team. They were going to need all sorts of help and tiebreakers and whatnot. Now they have to go out and beat three bad football teams to earn the right to see Pittsburgh, Buffalo, or Kansas City. They've been allergic to Kansas City. They've lost 3 years in a row to Kansas City. Pittsburgh, I see them as less intimidating for the Ravens somehow. And Buffalo, you know, Buffalo's got its own thing going on right now. They've proven that they belong. And without fans and with the weather and all of these kind of places on the road, getting back to where you guys began the segment, cold weather in January, that if they have to go play in Buffalo, I guess the running game packs well, right? So you could say that. Defensively for the Ravens, it's been a big story for them. They played well the first month, not so well, and not so well in stopping the run. And what Derrick Henry did to them, teams that can run the ball is going to try to do to them.
You mentioned Buffalo in the case of Cleveland as well, Nestor. Are you sold on both of those? And I guess more importantly, sold on both quarterbacks, Mayfield and Allen?
I'm not sold on Mayfield. I am more sold on Allen. I don't know how the Buffalo Bills react to playoff football this year and whether Josh Allen's going to be a guy that can throw the ball around in the cold and the snow and the sleet, whatever's going to happen in those games. Those playoff games take on a life of their own when they're played in those kinds of conditions. It's one thing to go play a playoff game in Arizona or go play a playoff game in a, you know, in a nice condition. Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, the Ravens are going to have to pack and say, what are we going to get when we get there? I think the Bills are a much better team than they were this time last year. I think what they did to Pittsburgh the other night was, despite those ugly red uniforms that aren't their primary colors, they're playing good football. And look, the Ravens are picking this thing back up, but they're picking it back up without a lot of key pieces. I mean, Pittsburgh's picking it up without Devin Bush right now. You know, Cleveland's trying to play without Odell Beckham. So good players are missing from all of these teams right now. I think the healthiest team for the Ravens the next 3 weeks, it's about trying to establish what they are as an offense, because they have not played with this unit. I mean, Orlando Brown's playing left tackle now. He's a right tackle. And he's 4 or 5 weeks into this experiment. And their running back by committee hasn't been functioning as well as it did against Cleveland the other night. Their defense gave up 42 points the other night. So the Ravens have a lot of issues that they're going to have to shore up. They're not going to be the 14-2 favorite. They're not going to be the team with the best player going in or the best offense or the hottest team. They're going to be the underdog. And let's see how they perform in January as an underdog.
Being with Nestor Aparicio, Baltimore talk show host, you brought up the fact of Patrick Mahomes maybe getting COVID the day before the AFC Championship game. In all seriousness, I mean, is that the only thing that stops the Chiefs coming out of the AFC, in your opinion?
Well, injuries would stop anybody, right? I mean, they still got to go play 3 more football games to maybe allegedly take a week off, maybe. I don't know. I would think whatever version of whatever team you get, and I mean this with a virus going around, this isn't even about an ankle sprain, right? This is about, you know, every day, you know, pumping gas, eating food, being out, being in, being around teammates that have kids that are in school, the whole deal, that, you know, 3 of our guys are dirty again this week, right? So the notion that this is going to happen to some of them in January, somewhere along the line, that it might be Aaron Rodgers, it might be Taysom Hill, it might be Russell Wilson, I don't know. It was my quarterback 3 weeks ago, and they said, tough, go play football anyway. Okay, if that's the lead you're going to run, then don't expect to have an outcome with integrity. And I don't say that because it was my team and they lost to the Steelers. They were very, very lazy, very complacent, very non-compliant in what they did out in the building, which is how they got the plague running through their building. So Goodell didn't like that. The league didn't like that. The Steelers moved the game 3 times. I know who didn't like it at all was NBC, right? NBC lost a Thanksgiving night game in America during a plague between the 2 biggest rivals in the league to run their Black Friday ads. You know, so there were a lot of problems when guys start coming down with COVID and giving it to other people, and trainers start bringing it into a locker room and giving it to everybody, Simmer, you know?
Yeah, do you look at that and say, hey, maybe not a bubble like the NHL, but at least come playoff time, that if you really want to win a Super Bowl, it's time for everybody to get into the hotel together?
At least a mini bubble, right? I mean, from what you know, I would have thought that this league, with this amount of money, with this much on the line, now having gotten screwed out of a Thanksgiving night game, right, that they don't want the Packers to not be able to play on January the 17th in a divisional game. You know, when the Redskins have landed there, whoever it's going to be, I'm making that up. You know, the only way to make that happen is the way the smart Canadians did and the smart NBAers did, which is they actually listened to scientists. They listened to the epidemiologists. They listened to Dr. Fauci in the beginning when he said, if they want to play and they want to compete with integrity, they're going to have a bubble. Now, why they didn't extend the league a week or two, give bye weeks for teams to get prepared, to get ready, and then to say, all right, you made the playoffs, good. You're going to Phoenix. You're going to Arlington. I mean, baseball bubbled in the playoffs, right? And we're going to have fields for you. We're going to have training facilities for you. But, you know, really what happens here, Simmer, and I don't need to tell you, you're a professional athlete at the highest level.
The coaches
run this, brother. No, I mean, the coaches run it. The coaches say, I don't want my players in San Diego that week or Vegas that week or L.A. I want home. I want our hot tub. I want our billion-dollar facility. I want our gym. I want our stim machines. I want our weights. I want our turf. I want our bubble. I want our beds. I want all of that. The coaches are the biggest Trumpers going in the league here. You know what I mean? So, listening to this and then seeing how the owners have acted politically, how it's been in this country, you know, they're crossing their fingers and they're putting together bubble gum and paper clips that they're all going to make it to Tampa on time.
All right. Well, if healthy, who do you have in Tampa for the Super Bowl, and who's your winner?
Kansas City's the team to beat. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And you know, and I know Seattle tripped a couple weeks ago, but I like Pete Carroll. I like Russell Wilson. You know, on a short track. I think it's Seattle and Kansas City.
All right, there we go. We've written it down. And okay. There's snowplows in Baltimore. That's what I learned lots of stuff in there, but snowplows in Baltimore. Hey, by the way, did you get to the bottom of what was going on with Lamar Jackson in the fourth quarter?
They said IV. You know, he had a lot of fun with that. But, hey, man, I got to get to Ottawa. I got to get to the rink up there for a hockey game. When you get these masks off and I get the shot, please get Mr. Trudeau and let's all get together and have some fun, okay?
Open invitation, my friend. Thanks a lot for
joining
us this morning.
Love you guys. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. All right, there's Ness.
Please.